Boston Marathon bomber Zhahar Tsarnaev is no longer facing the death penalty. A federal appeals court has overturned the death sentence and is ordering a new penalty phase trial for the man convicted of the 2013 attack that killed three people and wounded more than 260 others. To discuss the ruling and the next steps, we turn to WBUR legal analyst and former federal judge Nancy Gertner. Good morning and welcome to Weekend Edition.
Good morning.
First, briefly, did you expect this decision and why or why not?
Well, I have to admit that I predicted it. I predicted it because the way that the questioning of the jurors had been conducted, that was the part that I was mostly focused on. In a situation where there is as unique a situation as this, where Boston was essentially the victim of the crime, one would have expected a voir dire that followed all the constitutional rules, and any deviation from that would have been a basis for overturning this conviction.
So the U.S. Court of Appeals for the First Circuit ruled that the trial judge did not meet the standard of fairness when it came to the jury. Can you go into a little detail? What did the court say the judge did wrong?
Well, a judge is supposed to inquire about the nature of the publicity. In other words, think about this. There are two questions. One question is, what have you heard about this case? That would require the juror to say, well, I watched intently this coverage or that coverage, or I saw him confess in the hospital. The what question? What did you learn about it? As opposed to, has anything you've read about the case impaired your ability to be fair? In the latter case, the juror is the decision maker about whether they're fair. The juror doesn't really have to describe what they've heard. They only have to say, no, I'm fine. Nothing I have heard impaired my ability to be fair. The law requires that you ask, what have you heard? Tell me what you remember. What remains in your brain after this incredible onslaught of publicity? By not asking the first question, the what question, the judge deferred the issue of partiality, of determination of who's partial, to the jury. The jury made their own decision of partiality. Rather than telling the lawyers what the juror had heard and then let the judge decide partiality, and essentially 9 of the 12 on the jury, no one knew what they had actually remembered, saw, or heard.
So that leapt out at you at the time as a concern.
Right. That's right.
Now, the trial judge, George O'Toole, denied requests from the defense to move the trial out of the Boston area, where obviously there was a lot of publicity pre-trial. How did the appeals court weigh in on the question of change of venue?
The appeals court obviously split on the question of change of venue. So two judges would have said it was appropriate to keep the case in Boston. One judge was prepared to go in the other direction, and actually that judge had made his opinion known in previous appeals on where the case should be held. So they split on that question. But they said that even though venue could be in Boston, the nature of the publicity and the nature of the offense made it clear that the voir dire, the questioning of the jurors, had to be particularly searching, and it wasn't.
Now, in its appeal, the defense pointed out that before testimony, two jurors had posted comments on social media about Tsarnaev,
right,
and actually lied about it during questioning. So how did the appeals court address that as grounds for overturning the death sentence?
Well, the appeals court found that what the judge should have done would be to have held a hearing. In other words, before the jurors were finally selected, the defense had determined that they had lied about their social media presence. So it was available to the judge before any jurors were seated to hold a hearing, and he didn't. That was not the basis for reversing the penalty here, because the earlier problem with the questioning had been enough to overturn the penalty. But it was certainly enough that the court noted this as a problem.
Now, the appeals court also weighed in on some issues that could affect the next steps in the case, in that it ruled that the trial judge erred when he refused to let jurors hear evidence that Tsarnaev's brother, Tamerlan, had killed three people in Waltham in 2011. What would you say is the significance of that part of the ruling?
Well, that's tremendously significant. It's really in two parts. One was that the defense didn't get all the information that the FBI had about those Waltham murders. So one was an issue of disclosure, and that will have to happen now. The second question is a question of whether a juror should hear the issue of relative culpability. In other words, it would mitigate Zokar's culpability if it looked like he was under the influence of his older brother. And the details of the Waltham crime, the circumstances of the Waltham crime, the brutality of it, having been done by Tamerlan, the older brother, should have gone before the jury. So that will be significant. The next penalty phase will have more of that than the previous one did.
Now, in a quick little nutshell, the U.S. Attorney for Massachusetts, Andrew Lelling's reviewing the ruling to determine next steps. What do you think he'll be evaluating as he considers this, quick, briefly?
Well, he could evaluate what he could have evaluated, or the then U.S. attorney could have evaluated at the beginning, which is, is the government content with life without parole for Zokar Tsarnaev? Is that sufficient? Or do you need the possibility of the death penalty and putting the victims and the city through another trial? Isn't life without parole enough, is what he has to decide.
Right. Judge Gertner, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Former federal judge and WBUR legal analyst, Nancy Gertner.